Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of Twelfth Hour Apostolic Seventh Turning Congregation, out of Twelfth Hour in Elbert, Texas. Today is September 28th, 2024, or it is the 26th day of District 28. We will start our number two service on this Sabbath day, entitled Mount Zion of the Judgment of the Living. Mount Zion is the 11th hour. I call it the 12th hour. But this is actually written for the 11th hour for Brother Stephen Johnson in 1970. And so we're going to pick up part two where we left off. It says the next world leader. Okay. This is we'll back up and do a little review, and it's entitled History of Mankind. So we're going to start this number two service on page 6 of this compilation of tracts. Obvious it is that in the day of the judgment, and this would be of the living, each seal and each trumpet, first one of the seal and then the trumpet, then the other in the sevenfold succession, disclose the events and their respective categories, with the seals embracing the total sealing phase of the whole history of the mankind, and the trumpets embracing the complementary phase of the consequent destruction upon the rejecters of the present truth and their time of the seal that they were in. Coming now, and we're in the seventh seal right now in the 12th parabolic hour. So all of those that hear this message in the house of Israel and rejects this message, they are rejecting the present truth and their time period. Obvious it is that in the day of the judgment, each seal, okay, then coming now to chapters 13 and 17, we view a threefold symbolism of a special representation of the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow as it stands before the judgment throne of the Yahweh. First we behold the leopard-like bee, followed by the two-horned bees, then the scarlet-colored bees. Page 13 is the chart of the world's history and the prophetic symbols. Having seven heads and ten horns, the body of a leopard, the feet of a bear, and the mouth of a lion, the leopard, like this, is manifestly a composite symbol made up of the components of the four beasts of the Daniel 7, the head of the lion, Babylon, the feet of the bear, Medo-Persia, the body of the leopard, Grecia, and the ten horns of the nondescript beast, Rome. Thus, the composite symbolization obviously reveals that the leopard-like beast is a descendant of the Daniel's four beasts and is therefore a melting pot, as is said, of the ancient nations in general, and depicts the world of today in the particular, necessarily so, too, because all nations of the past as well as of the present, both dead and living, must come before the throne of the judgment. Hence, they're being embodied in the composite beast symbolism. Moreover, the ten crownless horns of the Daniel's fourth or nondescript beast, being symbolical of the kings that were to arise from the disintegration of the Roman Empire, Revelation 17:12, in contrast to the 10 crowned horns of the John's leopard-like beast, Revelation 13:1-2, proves that the latter beast is in particular as the symbol of the world after the fall of the pagan Rome. This is still more vividly seen when we bring into the sharp focus the fact that the crownless horn, changed as the Daniel's fourth beast, show that they had not yet possessed their kingdoms, whereas later on, John's first beast, they are crowned showing that they had finally taken their kingdom. For the John's second or scarlet colored beast, driven by a woman, is a religious system with its crownless horn, Revelation 17:12, is seen to represent a period of the crownless kings, again symbolizing a governmental entity in the principle and nature cast in the mold of that during the supremacy of the ecclesiastical Rome Church. State rule, unmistakably, this third beast is a symbol of the oncoming church, state, world of the dawning tomorrows. Its crownless horn then plainly reveals that the leopard-like beast, crowned king, which arose from the ruin of the Roman Empire and which have descended down unto our day, are to be dethroned and superseded by the crownless king, by dictators and their lesser likes. That brings us up now to our new start of number two. The next world ruler is the name of our subtitle for our part two of this here Judgment of the Living, tract number 16, by the V.P. Holland. The last tract that he wrote before he died. Notwithstanding, the next world ruler, notwithstanding that the world is becoming more and more infested with the dictators and the ilk of them, the next world ruler is not to be any one of the horns, but rather is to be the great whore, Babylon, Satan's great counterfeit religious system, for she is the one that who rules, who rides and rules the beast, thus the crownless rulers, giving their power to the beast, while the whore reigns, rides the beast, is dramatic confirmation that the falsehood and confusion of the Babylon's whorish sectarian religion, the federated churches, the seven heads, are to rule the world with the consent of the silver authorities, the ten horns. Precisely there, at the transition point between the old order presently passing away, and that's your United States government of the represented by the little lamb-like beast of Revelation 13:11. Or 9-11, with a little two-horned beast, when it's passing away, and a new order in the process of emerging, and we have that new order emerging with Donald Trump at the head of his army, called Antitypical Cyrus. And Donald Trump, Antitypical Cyrus, comes in from across the border. He comes in from a land called Archimedes, And he comes into the land of Babylon, and he overthrows Babylon. He literally overthrows it, and he delivers all of his captives, and they go back to their respective countries with their idols, with their religion, with everything that they brought here. They go back. Yeah. So Cyrus does a good thing, and now stand in the prophetic history and destiny of the world. And this is why the world is so troubled and upset, so beset with the fear and confusion, trembling as a tree when shaken by a mighty wind. Our next subtitle is No Need to Fear Communism. As the Crown King, the royalist government, represented by the Democratic and Republican Party of the United States, and the United States is a land where these royalist kings are represented as having their kingdom, represented by the leopard, like beast, crown horn, are all but a thing of the past. Okay, so with Biden now coming to his end as a president of the United States, he no longer has the power to continue on after his term is up, showing that the Democrats and the Republican Party of the two-horned beast has cast him out as the ruler of this country. The non-royalist government represented by the scarlet colored beast, crownless horn, the ones that finally hate the woman, that is her false religion, the hate of false religion, who rise, rules the beast, are to give their kingdom unto the beast. There is no need for fear that the communism is now to bring the world under its control, take over totally, and stay on top. Although the crownless horn and the unnatural agreement give their power and strength unto the beast, while the woman reigns over the nation, yet after the final 11th, Matthew 20, verse 6, and that's the fifth group of laborers, that works in the 12th parabolic hour, the judgment of the living time, and that 12th parabolic hour, symbolic hour, Revelation 18, 10, 17 and 19, they take up their power, and in the bitter disenchantment, as previously pointed out, hate the whore. They make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Revelation 17, 16. So though communism ominously appears to be gaining ground, and that's to be on the ascendancy, it's gaining absolute rule of the world before the woman does, is not discernible in the prophetic picture, even though it may succeed in extending its grip beyond what it has already, and though in the finality, after the ten crownless horn unseat the woman, as seen in verse 16, they are to rule the world for but a brief moment. Thus this symbolism reveals that distinctive desperate governmental orders characterized both the period represented by the leopard like beast and the period represented by the scarlet colored beast. For the former rule by the crown king, crown horn, the latter by the dictators of crownless horn. And as previously shown, the multiplex composition of the liquid like this reveals that in it is symbolically wrapped up both the world of yesterday and the world of today, all the dead and all the living up to the present and until its symbolic application for the world of the day is spent and expired, whereas the scarlet colored beast symbolizes only the world of tomorrow, all the dead and all the living during the 11th hour, the last. Well, that's wrong. We can now upgrade that during the 12th hour, the last. So we change that one word. We call it the 11th hour. 11th hour is 2 hours before sundown, the 12th. Not, it's actually 1 hour of the sun, and then you have 1 hour after the 12th hour. A symbolical hour of the time and chance, Ezekiel 9:11. For the mankind, beginning of the judgment of the living is our next subtitle, and that we have the date on that. This starting at the second Passover 2002, at Tournament Texas, Gilead Center, Rhoda Stubbs Johnson was the angel of the seventh candlestick, led us to the SDA church. He was the one, the last one, a prophet and a messenger to the Adventist church with a prophetic message. And he's the one that succeeded in bringing the Adventist church to its close of Matthew 20, verse 5. At the ninth hour labor, as called at the ninth hour, to work in the tenth and the 11th hour. So in its simulative life thus far, three dominant facts stand out clearly. Number one, with the passing of the leopard like beast period, the judgment of the dead ceases. Number two, with the emergence of the scarlet colored beast, the judgment of the living begins. And number three, with the end of his period, probation for man is closed forever. Furthermore, Revelation 13:11-18 makes clear that the two-horned beast represents a dominant power able to perform wonders, even this, so shaping the governmental principles of the nations as to bring them down to the church and state level of the world of the Middle Ages, represented by the leopard-like beast, pre-wounded state, depicted by the Daniel's beast of Daniel 7:8-11, 20, and 25. When he opened his mouth in a blasphemy against the Yahweh, and also now to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven, Revelation 13:6, for the inspiration declared. That is exactly what he does. For he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth, the United States, and prophecy is the earth, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. And the beast's headquarters is in Washington, D.C. So, you have to just the stroke of the pen with the executive order powers given to the presidency. Our government can just pass laws and stop laws and change laws and do anything it wants with just stroke of a pen. Saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by his sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand are in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark of the beast, mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation 13:13-17. Accordingly, the two horned beast is the decree that anyone who fails to comply with his demand to worship the image, the beast of Revelation 17, which he makes to the first or leopard type beast, should be killed. This will come to pass while the woman Babylon rides the beast, Revelation 17. Also, it appears more than likely that this symbolical prophecy reflects the combined church-state effort of the two-horned beast to clamp down on communism so as to save the world system of religion and to set up a world government with the federated churches being its brains and the state its power, but the beast number being in the sixes, 666, not in the 777, biblically denoting completeness or all, shows absence of a part of the world from a system of the worship. Some sects, at least one, will refuse to comply with the beast's decree, if none other than alone. For certain, the remnant who keep the commandments of the Yahweh the Father, and have the testimonies of his Son, Yahshua, that's the sanctuary, statutes, and judgments of Leviticus 23. Starting with the seventh-day Sabbath is the first statute, that is, and also Yahshua the Son's statute. The spirit of the prophecy in their midst, and this is the very thing that will cause the beast rigidly to enforce his demand to worship the image. As the king of the ancient Babylon decreed death unto those, Daniel's band, who would not bow down and worship the great image, then the queen of Babylon, modern Babylon, the woman, decrees that these Daniel's band today who will not worship the image should be killed. In the passing, the observer is reminded that the two horned beast develops a super career during the end of the period represented by the leopard like beast, and rests his career during the end of the period that is represented by the scarlet-colored beast. And the epitome, the revelation thus far, makes clear that the world today, along with the world of yesterday and the world of today, must stand before the judicial throne of the Yahweh to answer for what they have done with and to the world themselves and their fellow men. For the truth is seen further reinforced in the next chapter 14 of the Revelation. And thus sitting two harvests, thus the city, where the two harvests are brought to view, where the two harvests are brought to view. Okay. Let's read that last sentence again. For the Revelation thus far makes clear that the world today, along with the world of yesterday and the world of tomorrow, must stand before the judicial throne of the Yahweh for the answering of what they have done with and unto the world. And we know that Joe Biden has done his 4 years from 2020 to 2024. Has been devastating and destructive to the world, with and to the world themselves and their fellow men. For this truth is seen further reinforced in the next chapter, 14 of Revelation, in this city. Two harvests are brought to view. Both are of the living. The former of verses 14 to 16 is of the first fruits, the 144,000. The first fruits harvest of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, closing out the judgment of the dead. And that judgment of the dead took place in 2003 and 2002 in connotation. The latter group, 17 through 20, of the second fruit, that's the Gentiles of all the nations of the world, and each in their turn are reaped to stand in the judgment, Revelation 6, 7. Judgment of the living members of the church. And so we know the judgment started, of the living started in 2002 is coming, and we know that if the 144,000 comes forth now, it's because they have already been sealed by the judgment starting in 2002. After these solemn judgment proceedings, chapter 15 unfolds the event which closed this phase of the judgment. And after that, I looked and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in the heaven was open, and the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in the pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with the golden girdles, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of the Yahshua. This should be Yahshua, who liveth forever and ever, and the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of the Yahshua, and from his power. That's the Son of Yahweh, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven last plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled, Revelation 15, 5 and 8. As the temple or the sanctuary in the heaven, Hebrews 8, 2 to 5, was the pattern of that which Moses built, Exodus 25, 9 and verse 40, then a careful study of the earthy will enable us to glimpse the heavenly. According unto Moses' record, the sanctuary consisted of the two main apartments. Number one, the holy, and number two, the most holy. Exodus 26, 33. On the day of the atonement, on the day of the judgment for the living, each year, after the harvest is finished, closed out, and the tithe, the veil of the Most Holy was pulled aside, and the door of the holy was closed, thus showing the two apartments into the one. And after the monument was over, then after the atonement was over, the outer door of the sanctuary that to the holy was reopened, and the veil to the most holy was drawn shut again. Okay, it says page 22 is a picture of the sanctuary system. Okay, let's continue on. Hence, from the type it is clearly seen for inspiration, pages 21 and 23, means when it says the temple was open, and the seven angels, also the four beasts, who are symbolical of the representatives of their brethren in the Old Testament time, from Adam up to the cross, symbolical of the redeemed from of that time, of the Old Testament, Revelation 5, 8, and 9, came out of it, Revelation 15, 4, 7. Thus plainly showing that the premillennial session of the judgment, parentheses, the antiquable day of the atonement, will then be over. In other words, the last atonement of the seventh seal and the seventh trumpet. When the seventh trumpet is blown and over, then that's the last atonement. Because you have atonement every year in the judgment, in the 12th about it, the judgment of the living time. That human probation is then closed, that no man from then on can enter into the temple until the plagues are poured out, Revelation 15:8. Hence, following the judgment, come the seven last plagues, set forth in the next chapter, Revelation 16. Having thus far described the inspection of the guests, the living members of the church, collectively, the house of the Yahshua, as well as the fate which befalls the wicked multitude, inspiration now taking us back in chapter 18 into the judgment on the Babylon and her dominion with the final phase of the judgment of the living nations represented by the scarlet colored beast ridden by the woman. Chapter 19 reveals that at the time of the events which it brings to view, the government of the heaven is to war with the governments of this earth, defeat them, and bring the world to an end. For justice's sake, every unrepentant sinner will then mercifully be taken away, and for glory's sake, every saint will be led to live forever. Whereupon the world will pass away, and the church finally, after the millennium, will abide in the eternally blessed abode, the beast, the fourth prophet, the remnant destroyed. Richie Olive has a little problem here, because eternity begins for those that came to the final judgment of Revelation 16 of the seven trumpets. Blowing. And probation closing here in the 12th hour. It closes for all the wicked. It don't close for the righteous. People don't understand it. Okay. And it be, and so eternity begins here this side of the millennium. Not after for the church. It begins with the seal of the 144,000. Eternity begins for the Advent with the seal of the 144,000. And opening of the seventh seal and those that come through the judgment in the 12th periodic hour, eternity begins for them here in the 12th hour. Because they don't die. Even when probation closes, they live right on through. At the end of probation, they live through the seven last plagues, and they never die. And so that means that they have entered into eternity when they were called to be ministers here in the 12th periodic hour and come to the judgment of the living. So the 144,000 emerging as the first one that comes to the judgment to start the living, so that they can take their message to all the world, their Gentile brethren, to all nations, and all those that come to his holy mountain, the saints of all the Gentiles, and they live forever, even when probation closes, and so forth. And the seven last plagues are poured out. Even the Gentiles that are harvested, they're in Yahweh's holy city, right here on earth. And then when the millennium begins, millennium begins right here on this earth.
After the seven last plagues are poured out. And that beast was taken, and with him the voice of it, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. So those Adventists that accepted that Trinity doctrine, three in one person of the Catholic doctrine of the Trinity, those that accepted that, then they had to die with it. Of them that worshiped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of the fire burning with the brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19, 20, and 21. From these scriptures we see that the beast and the false prophet are destroyed first, then the remnant. Those are the sinners that were deceived and taken them over the days of the three in one person of the Godhead, of the false Catholic Trinity doctrine, the beast and the false prophet, although not one are associated. Revelation 19:20. Revelation 13:14. For the remnant, Revelation 19:21. Or the rest of the world's unsaved multitudes. The millennial judgment. Okay, that's our next chapter. Chapter 20 brings the resurrection of the saved of all ages. Then the millennium judgment of the wicked dead of all ages. No, this is wrong. The 20th chapter brings the resurrection of the saved of all ages, from Adam through down to the end of the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. They're resurrected in this 12th parabolic hour, before probation closes and before the millennium begins. So it's the millennial judgment. It's just a review by the saints of all of their brethren that didn't make it. That there was a cut off as clashed with the sinners that were left behind. That's your judgment of the millennium, that 1,000-year period by the saints. For chapter 20 brings and I saw an angel come down from the heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit. And that angel was Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. He came down with the key. And that found out the identity of this angel with the key. He came down three times. In the seal number three, and then in the seal number five. And a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nations anymore. We have to add a word here, set out, not. The 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded, all the witnesses of the Yahshua, and for the all the witnesses of the Yahshua. Let's read that again. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. The soul or the witness of the Yahshua. Okay, so we have some problem here with English words. This should read, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded as the witnesses of Yahshua and for the word of his Yahweh, the Father, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with the Yahshua 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of the Yahshua, or of the Yahweh the Father, and of his son Yahshua, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. They're going to reign with Yahshua, the son, 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 26. While the foregoing verses of the chapter 20 reveal how the world comes unto its end, and how the millennium begins, with the following verses of the Revelation reveal that the earth itself is dissolved and finally made new. And the angel departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Revelation 6:14. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Revelation 20, verse 1. These apocalyptic events give rise unto the question, where do the saints live while the earth is in a desolation and before it is made new? John was given the answer. They shall be priests of the Yahshua, of the Yahweh the Father, and of his son Yahshua, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 6. But where do they reign? They reign in the city, the holy city, Yahrushalayim. Where is the holy city, Yahrushalayim? Well, it comes down to this earth here in the 12th third body tower. But when does it go back? It doesn't say when it goes back. A second time. Truly, during the 1,000 years, they are with him in the many mansions. John 14:2. Where it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where is Yahshua at this time? He's sitting upon the throne of David, here upon this earth, in the kingdom of David, that everlasting kingdom of heaven, of Daniel 2, 44 and 45. That's where he's at. At the time that he makes this prophecy, that's where he's at. So he's in his kingdom, that he has stood up here. He's come back in the 12th hour to do it. And that's where all the saints is going to be gathered into that kingdom with him, here on this earth. Afterwards, when the holy city comes down with the saints, they will no longer be with him in heaven, but he will dwell with them on the earth. Well, that's all going to have to be straightened out in my next sermon. Let me witness heaven's word for it. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of the Yahshua is with men. Not men are with the tabernacle. And he will dwell with them. Not men will dwell with them. they shall be his people, and Yahweh, Yahshua, or Yahweh the Father himself shall be with them. Not that they will be. Oh, let's do it again. And Yahshua, the son of Yahweh himself, will be with them in the person here in the first group, our God. And he comes down here to set this kingdom of everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44 and 45, to bring all the harvest of the dead and living and of the saints into this kingdom. Here in the 12th day of the hour. All this before probation closes, and all this before the beginning of the millennium. Revelation 21:3. Okay. Thus we see that the chapter 20 sets forth the imprisonment and punishment of the saints, the first and the second resurrection, the executive judgment of the wicked, the millennium, and the final and eternal end of the Satan and all his hosts, the second death for all the wicked posterity ever. Okay. Revelation 6:14, 20, and 11, and 21:1, and verse 4, reveal the passing away of the present heaven and the present earth, and therefore existence during the millennium. And chapter 21:5 shows that since all things are to be made new, that includes the solar system, a new sun, a new moon, and our solar system, and the rest of the universe is going to be restored and recreated. There are therefore to be both a new heaven and a new earth, one heaven and one earth, new earth for this place. And verse 2 reveals the new Jerusalem coming down from the Yahweh of heaven. Finally, chapter 22 pictures both the river of life and the tree of life. Note, for a detailed study of chapter 46 on the seventh seal and of judgment, chapter 8 and 9 on the seventh trumpet, and further treatment of the chapters 12, 13, and 17, and 18 on the beast, request our track number 3, the harvest, number 5, the final warning, number 12, the world, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and number 15, to the seven churches, page 26. Also, the chart of the ceremonial harvest. Alright, part 2. Now, we're going to, that ends part 1 of this tract, Judgment of the Living, tract 16 by B.J. Hollis, 1954. And we're going to go on to now Revelation 14. This is part 2 of our tract. And we have about 12 minutes left in this hour. Verse 1, and I looked, and the Lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Mount Sinai, S-I-O-N, means a literal mountain that is in Jerusalem, Israel today. But today it's spelt with a Z. Back then it is spelt with an S. Where anciently stood the throne of the King David, was known unto all of the prophets as the famous palace site of the kings of Judah, as the chosen mount of the Yahshua's earthly throne, the son of Yahweh, and there finally with the Lamb as a revelator prophetically saw stand the 144,000 first fruit of the harvest of the seventh day Adventist church to start the judgment of the living, and the 12th prayer by God to open up the seventh seal, which opens up the seal for the final judgment of the judgment of the living. First fruits denote the harvest. For the first to be separated from the tares, the first to be freed from the fetters of the sin and from the yoke of the Gentiles, the first to be redeemed from among sinners and of the land of the living, thus the judgment or harvest, testimony to nation. Page 234 and 2. Begins in the house of the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh. 1 Peter 4:17. And it's called the Seventh Day Adventist Church. So Brother Johnson, the judgment began with him, and he was the angel of the seventh candlestick of Laodicea, SDA, at the Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas, the third feeding pastor for the Adventist Church, showing that he was in the fourth movement for Israel coming out of Egypt. And then, so that fourth movement was also the judgment of the dead, too. And Brother Johnson closed out the fourth movement for the Adventist Church in 2002-2003. The last angel for the candlestick of that church, the last prophet with a message of inspiration to her church. They rejected it. The message that Brother Johnson had, the Adventist Church rejected for 33 and a half years, and Brother Johnson ended up rejecting his own message that he was given to fulfill. He ended up rejecting and apostatizing from it. That's the reason why Yeshua came and changed the guard, took the reins in his own hands in 2002 and changed it from Brother Sean to Elijah David. Closed out the judgment of the dead and opened up the judgment of the living, the seventh seal. And closed out the sixth seal. And embraces the first fruits from among the 12 tribes of the Israel. Revelation 14:4. Declares inspiration to the Apostle Peter. For the time has come as judgment must begin at the house of the Yeshua. Kingdom of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, and Shiloh being represented by Yeshua and his kingdom. And if it first begin of us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the plan of the salvation of the Yeshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, through the new and living way, through the blood of Yeshua, 1 Peter 4:17. And that is, what shall be the end of them who are devotees of the Babylon, Revelation 18:4, answers. And I heard another voice in heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Thus, in the harvest, in Babylon, conditions are reversed from those which obtain in the harvest and the advent of church. For the separation of the church is done by setting a mark of Ezekiel 9, on the faithful, and by disposing of the abomination idol-loving multitudes in their midst, Ezekiel 9, thereby putting to shame and casting out the bad fish from among the good, Matthew 13:47-50, for as the separation in Babylon is accomplished by a voice from the heaven, come out of her, my people, accordingly, whereas the first fruits, 144,000, are left in the church, while the tares are taken out, just the opposite in the tares, but the second fruits, the great multitude, that no man can number, Revelation 7:9. They are gathered out of all nations, which shall at that time rule by the Babylon the Great, and are brought into a place where there is no sin and no fear of the plagues hurting them. Psalms 9:1-10. While all who are not his people are left and bound them to receive of her plagues. When the 144,000 has redeemed first fruits of the antithetical Seventh-day Adventist Church called Spiritual Israel today, stands upon the Mount Sinai with the Lamb, Then I shout the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Luke 21:24. Then I shall these godless servants of the Yahshua comprising the purified SCA church commence the indebting of the second priest, the great multitude of the Gentiles from all nations, fulfilling Isaiah 66:16-20, the great multitude from all nations. So whereas the first priest are from the 12 tribes of Israel only, the Seventh-day Adventist church, the second priest, are from all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Revelation 7:9, page 29. Okay. Long foreseen by the eye of the inspired prophet, this development is supremely significant, heralding the reestablishment of the David throne and the fulfillment of the many prophecies, Daniel 2:44-45, Hosea 1:11, Hosea 3:5, Micah 4:1, Isaiah 2:1 to 3, Jeremiah 32:37-40, Ezekiel 36:24-36. Ezekiel 37:16-28, and many other kindred passages. This is the Seventh-day Adventist Church purified pen, as the kingdom, Matthew 13:41-42. The wheat separated from the tares and gathered into the barn, Matthew 13:30. For the kingdom, as the good fish separated from the bad fish and gathered into the vessel, Matthew 13:48. And with the 12 tribes of the kingdom, the wedding dress clothed with the wedding garment separated from those without it at the wedding feast, Matthew 22:11. The kingdom marriage supper on the Mount Zion with the Lamb indicates a probationary time in the last parabolic hour, the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now since 2002. This brings in about 6th hour contact. This is the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.